Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview I did with actor, dancer, singer, Cecil Washington Jr., who is currently starring as Sam Cooke in the West Coast Black Theater Troupe production of The Sam Cooke Story. If you saw Cecil in The Color Purple last year, you know what a talented actor he is. And I'm sure if you haven't already gotten your tickets to The Sam Cooke Story, after you hear this delightful interview with this charming and really rather unusual young man, that you will want to run right out and hope that they're not already sold out. So hang on. Here come the show. Welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are, the person that you would have been if your development had not been interrupted by someone or someone's telling you who you should be, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what they wanted you to be or do, what other people were being and or doing. Perhaps you can imagine that we come into this life with a blueprint of the kind of life that would feel completely right. That when we were living the life we were meant to live, living out this blueprint, we would be at peace. Unfortunately, most of us have the experience of hearing from someone or someone's what we ought to be and ought not to be. And most unfortunately, those demands, those requests, those encouragements, those insistences from family, from school, from religious organizations, from cultural organizations, from peers, often have nothing to do with the blueprint that we came in with. So, if you are forced, sometimes with the best intentions by these other someones, to choose a path which is different from the path you would have chosen if you had lived out your blueprint, you might be experiencing what I call in my book a civil war. That is, you at war with yourself, trying to be something that you're not, or trying not to be something that you are. I would be surprised if a lot of you who are listening don't really know what I'm talking about, are not aware of the things you wanted to do, dreamt about doing, maybe things that you actually know you are but are afraid to tell the someones that matter to you that you are this other thing. Really, you're not an accountant. Really, you're a playwright. Really, you have a different sexual orientation than the one you are pretending to have. Really, you're not a dentist. You're an accountant. It is the mission of the Lin Show to say that this can and does happen way too often, and that it may not be too late to resurrect your blueprint, to get closer to the you really are. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And in this interview with Cecil Washington Jr., that is just what you hear. This is a young man who knew by middle school what and who he was. And although the circumstances of his life required him to, quote, put it on the back burner for a little while, he was not able to deny it and could finally fully embrace it. And Cecil is one of the lucky ones. He had incredible support from his family and from his teachers. Listen to this lovely, lovely story. Here now is Cecil Washington Jr. Okay, I'm here with Cecil Washington Jr., is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. In the WBTT offices, and I'm here talking to Cecil because he is starring in the Sam Cooke story. Which will run from...
Actually, we start previews tonight, March 2nd through April 9th.
Oh my God, I can't believe you're here when you have a preview tonight.
I know, but hey, this is what I chose to do, so...
It's very brave of you. I will try not to make you talk too much.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Oh, good.
Happy
All right,
this.
Thank you. So, I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. And clearly, Well, I don't know if it's clear, but it seems clear that the art to which you're giving your life is the art of performance, theater, acting?
It's all of the above. Anything that is dealing with art. I started off as a dancer, and I didn't really want to sing until they made me audition. They say, you have to act, sing, and dance to be in this company. I was like, okay. And so that's how I got started. Said, well, you can actually sing. I was like,
Hold on. I only ask one question, which you have begun to answer. And that is, can you remember the very first moment in your life when dancing, singing, acting, performing, being on stage, having people look at you, any of that became obvious to you, called you?
It had to be when I was in middle school. We were doing, some friends of our mine, we were just playing around with a video camera, and we started watching it, and I said, I like the way I look on TV. I said, I want to try and be an actor, and they all laughed at me.
Well, wait a minute, middle school, 13, 11?
Yeah, about, I would say about 11 or 12.
And what were you doing with the, what did you see on the screen? Do you remember what?
We loved watching movies, and so we would just reenact scenes from movies. In this particular movie that we were reenacting, it was from Boys in the Hood. And, of course, there was some swearing that I hope my mother would forgive me doing at that age. But it was just, I just remember feeling so excited to see it on screen and so excited to do it. And they were just having fun, and I was just having fun, but... When I saw it, something struck inside of me. I was like, I think I want to do that again. Let's do it again. It's like, no, Cecil, that was just for fun. I was like, oh, okay. And then I started getting into...
I want to back up.
Okay.
So there were a lot of movies in your life. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, gosh. I watched movies all the time.
You're talking about TV?
TV, film, going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those kids and who grew into a teenager, who grew into an adult. I love watching movies. Just
And did your family do that, or was just you?
I have a very close-knit family, and we always had family time. We always watched movies together. They called us the Huxtables because I have a pretty big family. But, yeah, we always watched movies together.
Well, there's more in that the Huxtables thing. It also suggests a close family, a mm-hmm. caring family,
oh, yeah.
You know, a stable family.
Very supportive family.
Yeah. Okay, so you're 11 or 12, and you are struck by this thing that calls you, that says, that's mine, I want that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And your friends say, don't be silly, essentially.
Friends and family, actually.
Yeah, that was my next question.
My family, you know, they thought it was just fun, and it was funny, and... I kind of steered away from it for a while because I hold value to what my family says, and I didn't go to school for it.
Well, okay, wait. I really want to hear all this in its order. So,
yeah.
And this is an interesting thing that you bring up, the conflict mm-hmm. that can occur for so many people between who they know themselves to be and who their family thinks they are or wants them to be.
Absolutely.
And if you really care for your family, and if they are loving and you don't want to hurt them, then that's a real conflict for somebody, especially for somebody young.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm assuming that nobody you knew was an actor.
No.
Right. So there were no role models, and there was nobody to say, yeah, you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, good. So you just put it on a shelf? You just said, well, okay, I can't or I won't.
I just kind of put it on the back burner because it wasn't, like you said, I didn't have anybody to say, no, he can do that. Cecil is dramatic. And if anybody can do it, Cecil can. Nobody said that until later.
Did they say what they wanted you to be or who you should be?
I was very good in biology and science, and I wanted to be a veterinarian as well, but... my parents wanted me to lean more towards medicine.
I was just going to say they want a doctor in the family.
They wanted
right?
some type of doctor. It didn't
right,
even
right,
matter.
Right, right.
And that's what I started studying hard for. Like, I was in honors biology. And
this is we're talking about high school now.
High school.
Now. Okay, now, did they have a drama class? Did you do that? Did you have any exposure to it at all in school?
In the English class, you know, when we were talking about the classicals, Greek mythology, we... sometimes put on little skits, and I would start getting that feeling again, and my hands would shake, or I would get, you know, goosebumps, but, you know, it was just little skits for class.
Yeah, I really want to stay with this for a second, because I believe that perhaps everyone, maybe not everyone, but so many people know what it is they are meant to do very, very young. And it's a fortunate few who are able to make that a reality in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you described, the excitement, the goosebumps, the, oh my God, here it is again, it's so beautiful and so lovely to hear that you knew it so young mm-hmm. and that even though you had essentially no support for it, you didn't lose it. I just think that's so lovely. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So, okay, so at the same time that you know this thing about yourself, you also know about yourself that you're good at these subjects and mm-hmm. that your family would really love that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving that the lion's share of your attention, right?
Yes. Well, if we're moving from high school to college, when I graduated high school, I went to Alabama State University, and I went for biology, pre-health, and my parents were still gung-ho about that. They loved it. You know, I was making, you know, top marks, and I saw a flyer for an audition for a show, and I got that little feeling, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to go. I said, they just looking for dancers, and I've never had any training with dancing.
So you've not had any training with anything?
With anything.
Yes, oh my.
So I was like, oh God, I hope I don't get out here and embarrass myself. And I had stage fright, because I had never gotten a chance to be on stage.
Right.
But I always had that feeling. So I went, auditioned, and they said, well, you know, you have to act, sing, and dance for us. I was like, oh, great. No acting classes, no dance classes, no singing classes. I sung in the choir in school, but, you know, when you're singing with the choir, you're singing with everybody. So I danced, and they said,
Wait a minute. You danced. They showed you the steps and you did it, or you just got out there and moved?
I picked a song, like that day, I picked a song, and I didn't have any time to rehearse because biology was very consuming.
Yes.
And so I just got a CD, went there, put it in, and I choreographed it right there.
Oh, my God.
On the spot. It was scary, but I couldn't believe what was coming out of my body, and...
Your body knew. It knew. You'd been watching, hadn't you?
My sisters used to dance. They were in their high school bands, and so they were like head majorettes and head dance girls. And so
cheerleaders? No.
They were not cheerleaders. They were football. On the football field, they halftime shows, they would dance.
Yeah.
And so I would always be with them. I have three sisters.
Older, younger?
Two older, one younger. And me and my younger sister would go with them to their rehearsals. And I used to watch them and saw how they moved. And I don't know if I...
Yes.
It got stuck in my head, but...
Well, no, it apparently got stuck in your body.
It stuck in my muscles, yeah. In my body. And for whatever, I got on stage and it just clicked. And I have long arms, long legs. And they thought that I had ballet training or lyrical training. I said, mm-mm. Now... After that, I got in the guild, Dramatic Guild.
Wait. We're talking about college now.
Yes.
And this is the Dramatic Guild. So you auditioned for this play. Do you remember what it was?
It was called The Soul of Nat Turner.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's a dance thing?
Well, there was dancing in it.
Okay.
It was a musical.
And so they made you also sing?
Yes. We just had to sing just... They didn't care what our song, they just wanted me to sing. They had already cast everything. They were just looking for more dancers. And I figured if I'm going to get my feet wet, I might as well slip in the back because they just need some background dancers. But
still, they made you sing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I can't even remember. What did I sing? I think it was Amazing Grace. That's like a
Yeah, but that's not an easy tune to sing.
No, it's not. But they say, you know, just sing a couple of things from Amazing Grace. And I was like, okay, and I sang it. It's like, huh. Okay, Mr. Washington, thank you. And I was like, oh gosh, I must have bombed that. But I got in as a dancer because everything was already cast. And the next time they had auditions, I went.
Well, wait a minute. So you were in that show?
Yes. And I got cast in the show.
You got cast in that show. And then did you join the... Dramatic Guild, or they...
When you get cast in the show, you automatically
become part of
the guild.
Because it is the guild from which they call cast in that, right? Okay,
yes.
Good. So now you're part of the Drama Guild.
Yes.
Right. And in addition to biology, you're now...
Rehearsing in the evening.
Right.
Studying at 18 hours of school. You know, it was very difficult.
No kidding. Biology isn't easy anyway. It's class, it's lab, it's lecture, it's, right? It's all that
all
stuff.
All of that. And I was in honors biology, so
Yikes.
It was a little bit more on me. But I would go through school, and rehearsals would be at, like, maybe 6 o'clock. And at this school, you know, there's no union or anything like that, so you end when they end.
Right.
Sometimes that would be 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had 8 o'clock class.
Wow.
But I loved it so much, I just did not care.
No.
I wanted to be there every last minute, every last second, and I would get up dragging to go to class and do it all over again.
Yeah, and so then you did the show, which I imagine was pleasurable
to you. Oh my gosh, it was wonderful. It was a packed house every night, and it was the most fun I'd ever had because I got to finally do something.
Yes.
And I was a really good dancer. I still dance. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to keep in shape with that. But after that show, I did not get a chance to dance much anymore. I did do dance shows and things, but from that show, I started getting cast as just, it was amazing. I got Tony in West Side Story.
Oh my God.
I know. I was like, no. I just want to dance. It's like, no, we think you can do Tony. And from, I got Tony, I got...
Well, wait a minute. So, could you do it? I guess you must have done it.
I did do it. And I was, each time I would do it, and this is not me, you know, boasting about myself, but I never got anything less than a lead after The Soul of Nat Turner.
Well, that's, the truth is not boasting.
Oh. Well,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, what it sounds like is that you had these skills. You got these skills somewhere. They were not because you trained or had classes or were taught, but you owned them. You could dance, you could sing, you could act, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and so I'm assuming that the rest of your college career, you were in a lot of shows.
Yes.
Did you continue to be a biology student?
Good question. No.
And I didn't think so.
And what's funny was, my parents, you know, my family being very supportive, they came down to see the show. All of my sisters, all of my, and, you know, they were all spread out. And that was fine. They thought I did great. But the next show that I did that I was lead in, it was called The Drums of Sweetwater. I had to play a mental patient. My parents, a mental patient who had Parkinson's.
Oh, my.
Yeah, my parents, when they came to see it, we went out to dinner the next day. And I tell them I want to change my major to theater. And I remember this day like it was yesterday. They looked at each other and said, after seeing that show, okay.
I have tears in my eyes.
I had to, you know, my mom was crying, I was crying.
I'm sure. I can feel what that must have been for you.
It was scary. It was almost like, it's almost like there's a scene in the Sam Cooke show where he comes to his father to ask for permission to leave the gospel group to sing popular music. And that's what it was for me. I was asking my parents permission to not be a doctor.
Yes, to not be who they wanted you to be, thought you were.
And
But to let you be who you are. It's such an extraordinary thing. You know, and I say this again, I think so few people really get the opportunity to be who they really are. And part of the reason is because they are unable to challenge what other people, the people that matter, want them to be.
And I have a huge heart.
Yes.
I'm a people pleaser. I mm-hmm. love to please my family. When I decided to become an artist, I said one of my main goals was to make money so that I can take care of my family. I wouldn't even think about, you know, getting married or children. I just wanted my parents never to have to work again. And if my sisters never got married, which they're all married now. But what my baby sister still says, you're still going to take care of me. But I'm a huge family person. I've been told my heart is just entirely too big for my body. And for my parents, my dad included, because my dad, he's one of those people, no, this is logical, let's do this. When he told me, he said, I'm behind you 100%. He said, what I saw on that stage, he said, how can I say no?
See, I think that one doesn't, if one has a huge heart and cares for those, and wants to care for those that you love, you get that from somewhere. That must have been who your parents were as well.
Oh, that's who they still are.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my mother before I came here. Talked to them every day. And, you know, she was saying, you know, she says she's proud of me all the time. She said, you just don't know what God has in store for you. And she said, just go in and speak from your heart.
Yeah, this would be boring to my audience who's heard this over and over again, but there isn't really no way to underestimate the power of acceptance by parents for who the child is. It is what makes it possible for human beings to be, for me anyway, for human beings to actualize themselves, to be the person they were meant to be.
Yeah.
And it's clear that you knew from at least 11 who you were supposed to be. And that even trying not to be that person, that didn't actually work.
No. It kept coming up in some kind of way, and I surrendered.
Yes. And your parents, good for them. Wow. Okay, so now we have you in college,
mm-hmm.
and you change your major while you go to your
advisor.
Advisor, right?
She said, are you serious? Do you want, you're halfway through, which means I had to stay a little longer in school. I was like, I don't care. I said, this is what I need to do. I've been putting it off entirely too long. I'm in every show. And I'm at the theater all the time. I had a key. There, in the guild, they have certain positions, and I was Mr. Dramatic Guild twice, and so you get a key whenever you're in the office. And I said, this is my home. This is where I belong.
Oh, my God.
And she said, okay. And I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Theater.
All right. So then what?
Then, after that, you know, we have to... In this particular, at Alabama State University, we go out to competitions and we go out to professional theater auditions so that when we graduate, we might have a potential job.
Oh, they said that's a part of the curriculum?
Well, I don't know if it's a part of it, but at that school, they wanted to set us up for success.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was, you know, they paid for most of it and we traveled to SCTC. It's a Southeastern Theater Conference.
Yes.
And you audition in front of a room full of people who are all over the U.S. I went, and like you said, I was about to say, I don't want to boast, but the truth is not boasting. And when I went with the class that I was in, I graduated in 2006, I got 17 callbacks, which was the most anybody at that school had ever gotten. And I didn't know that. I just thought it was normal.
Yeah, of course.
And I was trying to go to I couldn't even go to all the callbacks because they had to happen in that one day. And when I got back to school, they created an award for me. They said, Cecil, nobody. And in the Dramatic Guild, they have awards, Best Actor in a Musical, Best Male Runway. I modeled as well when I was there and danced. And I got every last award. And they said to this day, still no one has done that. And it's, I don't know, sometimes I'm one of those people, I really don't like saying those things out loud because I don't want people to think I'm patting myself on the back or boasting. I really try and stay humble because I know all of this can disappear in a minute. But I'm extremely proud of where I am now.
No kidding. All right. So now, I didn't ask this, and I want to ask it now. Being a theater major, did you finally get training?
What was funny about that was Dr. Tommy Tania Stewart, who was the head of the department, every time I would come on stage, she started calling me Hollywood. And she thought I was being some type of devo.
Yeah.
But she said, no. She said, every time you get on stage, I don't really know what notes to give you. She said, you fall into everything. And even Nate Jacobs said that the other day. He said, every time I have a note for you when we do the scene, he said, I'm going to tell him next time we do the scene, try it this way. He said, you already do it. And my mom said that's called a gift. She said, it's a natural thing that you have. So it's hard for me to be trained.
Yes. Yes.
Choreographing, whenever I would do dances, they would try and teach me, for whatever reason, I couldn't hold on to it. And I would eventually get it, but...
But somebody inside you was saying, no, do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. You came with... right? It was a package. You came with it, right?
And it was... I was always, I'm a very hard worker. so I'm told, and I am
very hard on myself, right.
Not a perfectionist, but I just like to respect the art and do it as best as I can.
I think that is the definition of perfectionist. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, then I'll take it. Then.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But they eventually start saying, Cecil, just get in the middle and do whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
Because they just trusted that. I said, I'm sorry. I would apologize all the time. I'm just not getting, for whatever reason, it's not sticking. Some things stuck, and the things that didn't stick, they said, it's because you're supposed to come up with it.
Right. God, you were so lucky. I mean, because you had so much support.
Yes.
Just for who you are. Another professor, another teacher might have needed to know more than you, to their own sense of their self. You know, you're shaking your head, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't have that.
No.
You had
an incredible support system. And
yeah,
people
and
trusted.
Well, not only that, but people who weren't, I can't find the words for this. They didn't have their ego on the line, so they didn't have to they didn't have to know more than you. You
mm-hmm.
understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's rare. So
it is rare. Even with Nate, I've heard of Nate's directing styles, and I was ready. I was ready to experience all of that, and he trusts me.
Wow.
And that is rare for a director to just sit back and say, I'm going to let you do this, and I'm going to let you do that, and if I don't like it, then I'll change it.
Right.
And Nate and I work very well together. I don't have a director that I have not worked well with, because I just want to do my job.
Yes.
So whatever you tell me to do, I'm just going to do it. And that's really just where I am right now.
Well, okay. So you got all these callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I got some job offers. I brought them back to the head of the department, so she can look over them with me, because I don't know how to handle all of these contracts and things. And she said, well, this is not enough money for you. This is not enough money for you. And we had chosen one in Oregon, but I said, I've been doing theater for the past 4.5 years. I really want to see what it's like on film and television, because that's really where it all started. And so I decided to audition, send in a tape to the School for Film and Television in New York. And it was a 2-year program, and they called me back and said that they accepted me. And I went up, flew up to New York, first time out of Alabama, by myself. And, my family actually, I didn't fly up, they drove me.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could actually see me leaving and dropping me off, knowing that I got there. It was a 2-year program, and I got there, and they had skipped me a year. And I said, why am I being skipped a year? I want to get all the experience.
Right.
These were his exact words. He said, you're too advanced for 2 years. I said, okay.
I'll take it.
Take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the film and training that I always wanted. The very first time I sat in front of the camera to do a scene, I was theater.
Yeah.
And he said, okay.
Too big.
That was wonderful. Take it down.
Yeah, right.
I was like, okay. And I took it down.
Yeah.
And he said, it's funny, I'm just sitting here envisioning this man. He sat down in his chair. He said, okay, now how did you do that right away? He said, because usually I have to tell people, you're still too big,
yeah.
Theater people. I said, this is what I've always wanted to do. I said, if my director tells me to do something, I try and execute it right then. And he said, okay.
Well, what the hell can I give this kid?
But the training that I got there on camera, behind camera, I still hold it in my heart, and I cannot wait to get back in film. I mean, I've done independent films and Law and Order, things like that, to get some experience. But I was told by a theater director in Birmingham, Alabama, he said, your calling is really theater. He said, you are a fabulous television actor, and you would do great in movies. He's like, but you tell stories like no other, and you need to do that live. I said, I want to do TV, though.
Don't tell me who I am.
I am going to do television, but I'm going to be on this journey until God says, okay, now it's time for this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, certainly you have always known where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And there's no reason, you know, if the past is a predictor of the future, there is no reason to believe that you won't know that also. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
you won't make that move when it's right, right?
I trust everything happens for a reason in its own time.
Well, it seems to have worked for you so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so so after the school, you graduated in 2006. So what, 2007, you get out of the New York school?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Well, we're here in 2016 now, so what have you been doing?
Well, 2007, I graduated. Entire family came up.
Of course they did.
They did, and because as I did for them, anytime we would do, they would graduate, we're always there. That's, oh my God, I love my family. I'm not going to get teary-eyed, but I love my family. That support system behind each
yes.
other. Yeah.
You can't say it too much. You really can't. You don't have to, I don't know what the word is, but you don't have to feel that you shouldn't be doing that or it's too much, because it cannot be said too much. Because most of what, no, that's not correct. A lot of what I hear is the opposite of that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and the struggle that people who don't get that have to go through. I mean, let's face it, acting, performing, singing, dancing, those are not easy careers.
No, not at all.
No, and to also have to feel isolated, alone, not supported, criticized,
mm-hmm.
you know. It makes it so much harder, and no matter how many times I get to say this to anybody who's listening, you know, let your kids be who they are.
Absolutely.
You know, and okay, good. So everybody came. You had a big celebration.
Everybody came.
Right.
It was first time for everybody to be in New York.
Yes.
I showed them around, of course, as much as we could, and I flew back home to Birmingham. And I did my first professional theater job there, which was The Wizard of Oz at Red Mountain Theater Company. I started as a dancer again.
Mm.
I don't mind starting from the bottom up, because I know in my heart that I'm going to be at the top.
Yes.
So I didn't mind being a tree. And I was a tree on stilts, throwing apples at Dorothy and the friends. And when that theater saw me, I started auditioning for them more and started getting lead roles. I said, okay, I'm still supposed to be doing this. Now I'm getting paid more.
Mm-hmm.
And
was this an equity company?
It wasn't.
Okay.
And I didn't become equity until much later.
We'll get
but
there.
But it was something that they taught us in school. There's a union. It was touched on, but they didn't really delve into it, so I didn't really understand what equity was. But I knew that in New York, I heard of it all the time.
Right.
And if you were equity and on stage in New York, you were getting paid more.
More, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I really cared about
right.
at that point.
Of course,
but
you were also paying dues more.
Right.
But
right. I didn't know the pros and cons of that.
Mm-hmm.
But after The Wizard of Oz and doing some shows in Birmingham, I said, I want to go back to New York. I said, I need to go back. I loved it. I felt at home there. And I saved up my money and I went back. I didn't know what I was doing.
Of course not.
Of course not. I was still in my mid-20s and was scared because I had my own apartment, which my family helped with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard for them, too. That's why I love them so much, because I have not gotten to the places that I've gotten to without my family,
no.
without that support.
No.
I had my sisters pulling from their funds to help me pay rent. And I stayed up there for about 6 months just I just wanted to be there, and I wanted to audition. I knew I was really green, and nobody would snatch me up. Well, I didn't know, but I wanted to try. And I got an agent. And a week later, I got scared, and I left.
Really?
I left.
Do you remember what the scare was?
My mom explained it to me after I left, because she said, I can't quite put my finger on why you left. She said, because that's where you were supposed to be. And I went to grad school.
Ah!
Another grad, this was, the film school was like a certificate program.
No, I understand.
And so I went to grad school for theater.
Where'd you go?
University of Louisville in Kentucky. And it was a free ride. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to school. I'm not ready. I'm scared. And
again, this is really important. The recognition of who you are at the moment without telling yourself, you shouldn't be this, you ought to be that, what are you doing, this is a mistake. But really honoring and trusting yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's so important, and it seems to me that it has served you.
Yes.
So that fear, that was probably correct,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so graduate school, how many years is that?
It was a three-year program, and I had friends who had gone there, and it was one of the programs that actually wanted me when I auditioned while in undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
I went there. I stayed a year because I was like, I'm not supposed to be in school. I just came here because I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
safe place. It's like going home.
It's a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
I excelled there. You know, I got top marks, and they invited me back. You have to be invited back because they pay for everything.
Yeah.
They invited me back, and I remember being in that meeting saying, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's not for me. I'm not supposed to be in school. I'm done with
mm-hmm.
school. And they understood, and I went back home to Birmingham. And my mom told me, she said, I now know why you were afraid. She said, one, perhaps you just didn't feel ready.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you're afraid of success.
Uh-oh.
I said, what do you mean? I want to succeed. She said, no, I believe you want to succeed. She said, but with success comes more responsibility.
Yeah.
And she said, and you weren't ready. She said, because I know what's about to happen for you in the future, and you have to be mentally ready for that.
What a remarkable woman she is.
Oh, my gosh. My parents, just intelligent people and just very...
Well, the really interesting thing about them is they, except for wanting you to be, you know, a doctor, they don't seem to need to tell you what you should do.
No, none
it's
of us.
It's amazing, you know, who you are and what you are and what you do, that's what it is. They don't feel the need, and so many parents feel compelled to tell their kids, oh no, you should be doing this, and why you do that, and you know.
No, not Cecil and Olivia. I will go to them. I said, Mommy, just please tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. She said, I can't tell you what to do. I can help you realize what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you can get a better grasp, and you can figure out what to do. She said, but Mommy, she said, you're an adult now. Mommy can't tell you what to do. Daddy can't tell you what to do. Said, but we can be here for you.
God bless them. Okay, so what did you do?
Well, after going back home and having that conversation with her, I went to the same company, Red Mountain Theater Company, and did Rent with
mm-hmm.
them. And while doing Rent, I went to the Children's Theater Company that was down the road from them and was doing The Wizard of Oz again. While doing that...
Were you still a tree?
No, I played the lion this time. I moved up.
Moving on up.
While doing that, I was in rehearsals for the Jackie Robinson story, and I played Jackie Robinson. I was doing three shows at once. So to my friends that were in school with me, she's like, you're living the dream.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I guess I am. And I was doing all this stuff in Birmingham, and somehow I can't even remember how I ended up in St. Louis, but I moved to St. Louis. Oh, I did an internship at the St. Louis Black Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm.
That did not last long. It was another one of those times when I got there and realized this is not what I'm supposed to be.
Not right.
And I left. I always leave places the right way. I try and make sure that...
Oh, no kidding. I mean, you're not offending anybody if you can help it, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I try and not burn any bridges.
Right.
And I left St. Louis. Birmingham, I tell you, Birmingham is my safe haven. They love me there. They respect me there. And I love them and respect them. And I went back, did a couple of shows, and then went back to New York. I said, this time I think I'm ready. Because the last show that I did in Birmingham, well, the last two shows, I got my equity card. Uh-huh. And I didn't even know I can get my equity card in Birmingham.
Right.
Of all places. And I said, I'm in the union now, baby.
Yeah, right.
I'm going back to New York, and I'm going to try this. Went back to New York. When I tell you I ran out of money so fast.
Yeah, well, you can do that in New York.
I tell you, I thought I had raised enough. I gathered enough money to go there and live. And I felt like I was this close to getting on stage somewhere. And I was like, I have no more money. And I cannot ask my family for any more money.
Right.
Because I just couldn't. It would break my heart to have, because they would do it.
Yeah.
They would do everything they could. And I had to leave.
Oh, no.
I had to leave again. And it didn't bother me because I always know that New York will always be
there. It's waiting for you.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
And that's when I started auditioning everywhere. I went to Atlanta and I did Les Mis.
Hmm.
And that was my first time doing a show in Atlanta. And I played Marius, which is not typically a black role.
Right.
And that's how I got started in Atlanta. And then I did Memphis.
Mm.
And while doing Memphis, I auditioned for The Color Purple. I did The Color Purple in Birmingham before, and I auditioned for The Color Purple here by video. Because Travis Ray, that works here in the office, he and I went to Alabama State together. And he said, hey, they're doing The Color Purple, and I knew you did it before. Why don't you send in the tape? I said, okay. I sent it in. They hired me. That's how Nate saw me.
And you were wonderful.
Oh, you saw The Color
Purple? I did.
Oh, wow.
I did.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no, you were wonderful.
Thank you. And that's how the West Coast Black Theater got into my life. And I could not be happier.
Well, okay. So now, I only ask one other question, and really, we've been talking about it. Having given all this time in your life to this work, is there anything that you would say about what this work is like for you?
The work itself is life for me. It just, when I get on stage, it's like air.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm off stage, I can still breathe.
Oh, good.
But I cannot really explain what I feel when I'm on stage. I'm always nervous. People can't see, but my hands are shaking. My body is shaking. But I think that's great nervous energy. And it's
adrenaline.
It's adrenaline. And it's always me. I'm thinking in my head, make sure you hit this note. Make sure you say the line this way. People don't understand what actors go through on stage.
No, I know.
Everything is on a loop, you know, and trying to make sure that everything gets across. And when I'm doing this, it just, like I said, the only thing I can say is just, it just gives me life.
Yes.
And I cannot imagine doing anything else. I've had other regular jobs, 9-to-5 jobs, while still doing theater, and I feel like a drone. I feel like a robot. It drains me to sit behind a desk, or it drains me to sell clothes. Some people say, oh, you can use that as an acting. No, it's not the same. Yeah, I'll act like another character selling these clothes. That's fine. But
no,
I need my stage.
It sounds like it feeds you.
Mm, it does.
You know, and other things drain you. That's amazing.
And with my personal life, it just, if my personal life is going awry, there's always that stage.
Yes.
There's always dancing. I remember when I was in school and things were just awful in my personal life, I would go to the dance studio because I had the key. And I would put music on and I would dance until I couldn't breathe anymore. Yeah. And I would fall on the floor just trying to get the air and everything would just go away. And it's still the same. I just now act and sing it. So, yeah, it can be a really, especially when you have surrendered to your gift and your talents, it can be a lonely life. It's not for the weak.
Yes.
I can tell you that. And you have to know and trust that you won't be alone forever.
Yes.
It's something that Nate and I talked about. He was saying, I had a very good friend tell me after a show one day, we were just having breakfast somewhere at a restaurant, and she was just staring at me while I was talking, and I was like, what is going on with you? Are you okay? She said, you're going to be alone for a really long time. And of course, I bursted into tears. I said, why would you say something like that? That broke my heart, because I am a person that loves love.
Yes.
I want to be loved in love.
And thrives on the connection between you and other people.
Yes, absolutely. And I want children. I want that family life because I grew up around it. I have nieces and I have a host of nieces and nephews. My sisters are married and I see how happy they are and I don't have time.
No.
Right now.
No. And I think you're making another point which I think is really important to make. And that is that even when you know who you are and you're doing what you were meant to do, it doesn't mean that it is without cost.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And that you're... Yes, no, well, yeah. It's... And your certainty that this is what you need to be doing and the way in which it feeds you, right, mm-hmm. is almost certainly what makes you so wonderful on stage. You know, and that, and I really think this is an important point, that sometimes choices have to be made. Mm. It's not so simple. Well, I am sure that anybody who's listening to this cannot wait to come and see you on stage. Mm. Thank you so much, Cecil.
Oh,
this was
you.
A wonderful interview.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Even with the downside being loneliness, Cecil can't imagine doing anything else. It's breath to him. So, can you say this about your life, that what you're doing and how you're spending your time is breath to you, and that you can't imagine doing anything else because this feeds you in the most significant way? Well, if the answer to that is no, please know that it may not be too late for you to recover what you may have had to lose. It may not be too late for you to get back to the blueprint that you came in with. And that, of course, is the work of psychotherapy. So if you want to talk about how one can recover, how one can discover what may be lurking inside, hidden and waiting, you can go up on my website, which is thelynshow.com, T-H-E-L-Y-N-N-E, don't leave the E out of Lynn, T-H-E-L-Y-N-N-E-S-H-O-W. And while you're up there, you can click on the email tab and ask me any questions that you might have. I'll be happy to hear from you. You can get a copy of my book. And you can listen to all the shows I've ever done in podcast form. That is, of course, including this one. You can just click on them and download them or listen to them. You can write in the little box who you might want to listen to, and that show will show up as well. So, as always, I hope that you have gotten something from this show that you can use. Something that you know now that you didn't know before. Something that you already knew, but somehow you know in another way. Some kind of inspiration. something that'll get you to come out and see the Sam Cooke Show, because I'm sure you want to see Cecil, as I do. Anything that will bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station, and I sure hope you will be, too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have gotten limper.